Escape of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign, Flotsam and Jetsam, Part 1, Star Brothers.
Past, since we've dealt with our mothy friend, and I'm not really sure if Miss LaForge became a professor, but I'm pretty sure that.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say she did not, at least has not yet become a professor. I think we'll leave that door open. But she has, mostly out of guilt, but she has been staying with a young woman who is runs a psychic shop in town.
Okay. And Mr. Yarborough... the fall has come, and I think as we discussed, you have had a slight change in plans.
And a mutedness.
He's a man of action, not words.
Well, yes, he has actioned himself down to New York, where he has taken a position at the... newspaper, strange but true.
Oh, nice.
And he has been asked to, if he has any contacts in the Arkham area as their editor, has a special assignment up that direction. Steve,
we don't have a
yes. I'll do the notes page.
You just need to unmute yourself, Steve, so you can talk.
That would be good.
How about now? Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
yay!
Sure. Can.
Hey.
All right, a lot of witty banter lost for the ages. Sorry about that. Yes. Yeah, I think there was a mutual agreement maybe with Ms. Katonic that I not come back sort of right away. So I moved on to greener pastures. So, something to do about not wanting to, punch professors or be punched or something. I don't know. So, yes, I moved on to greener pastures and the lovely Strange But True publication. And it just so happens there are some people that have legitimate experience that I'm aware of.
Yay!
Hey. I thought it was mutual.
Mutual. Oh,
left the university. Yeah.
That's my story. Anyway, that's how I rationalize it to myself.
All right. Well. So. Mr. Elijah Cleaver, the editor there, has asked for you to put together a small team. He has one gentleman that he introduces you to. A private eye that he is friends with or often works with him. Mr. Archer Ferrier. Archie.
Ah, sounds like a good working man.
So, Archie, would you like to make acquaintance with Mr. Yarborough here? He's our new intern.
Intern, huh?
That's right. I have some high hopes, Mr. Ferrier. I understand. I can go with a lot of hard work. I can go a long way with the paper here. You have a lot of experience in this type of thing.
Call me Mr. Ferrier again, and I'm going to box your ears, boy. My name's Archie.
All right, Archie. All right.
All right. Well, I will. So, I've got this article I would like to share with you, and I am trying to figure out how to do that. I'm bad about
You
this.
want to paste it in the notes, or?
I am trying to.
Drop it in Skype and we'll post it, paste it in the notes.
Here, there's a share button. Save as Google Docs. And then, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I just found a, I was looking for a name for the for my sphere, and I found a photograph of a woman with a revolver titled Mary Shanley was an undercover police officer who targeted fortune tellers. Brilliant.
Yes,
A great
it
photo. One of us needs to let's see here. There's a photo for your amusement while we're waiting for our. Man, she looks.
think that's got to be our first replacement character, or if
I think
someone,
so.
yeah, someone can join us. Oh, yes. She doesn't take much nonsense, it looks like.
I'm confused as to why our anonymous chipmunk is. Oh, we need this for blog entry. That must be Sean. Okay.
When we create the blog, if I can just cut and paste
Yep.
it, then it's easier than these little.
Yeah, he's in the table.
Yep.
I figured that out. I guess because you put
Okay.
it, because you wrote it. Yeah.
Yes, it's an investigative game, and you are on the top of it.
That's right. I can read.
There we go.
Perfect.
Ah,
Shall I
thanks,
read
man.
it out loud?
Awesome.
What's it say there, intern?
Oh, golly. Spaceman needs a ride home. This looks right up our alley. By Elise Caldwell, special to the Ipswich Inquirer. A strange being has been haunting Ipswich recently, causing no little stir. His name is Otis Fry, and he claims to be from another planet. Whatever star Fry hails from, he has been a boon to local hardware and electrical supply merchants, purchasing all manner of implements for, affirms Fry, a trip to outer space. The reporter caught up with Fry as he was leaving Gore's hardware store on Main Street. For a spaceman, Fry looks human enough, though far from a modern Adonis. Oh, that seemed a little harsh. He claims to be from Neptune and needs the equipment to signal his fellow star brothers to retrieve him from Earth. Fry did not loiter long, claiming that that government men are following him. Fry claims they wish to steal his technology and study his physique for science. Local merchants aren't complaining as Fry pays for his space supplies with odd gold coins. Chester Gore of Gore's Hardware says, "I don't care if he's from Jupiter or Tahiti. As long as he keeps paying with these gold coins, he can be from anywhere he wants." While Fry's claims are outlandish, his lunacy seems contagious, as several local citizens have lately reported seeing strange sights, suggesting that Essex County may be hosting a convention of moon men. What with reports of strange lights flitting over the salt marshes for the past several nights and odd noises being heard, the place is abuzz with Fry's talk of his long-lost space brothers. Rumor has it that at least one individual has seen a moon man late one night, though this reporter suspects it may be moonshine, not moon men, behind the report. Ipswich police state that they have found no mystery airships landing in our woods or marshes. Several townsfolk report being approached by men in dark trench coats and fedoras asking after Otis Fry. Perhaps Fry's assertions are correct, that G-men are on his trail. though they are more likely interested in Fry's gold coins than his purported origin from planet Neptune. Should any Ipswich Inquirer subscribers happen to take a trip with Fry to another planet, we would appreciate their getting in touch with this reporter, as it would be quite an exclusive. In all probability, the farthest Mr. Fry will get is a one-way trip to Danvers State Hospital. We wish him Godspeed. To the hospital?
I know, that's been a little much. Yeah. I really wanted it to say Ipswicher.
To say what? Ipswicher?
Ipswicher. Should any Ipswicher?
Yeah. that's really what you need a good editor for.
Yes. So, I want you guys to go out and find out about Otis Fry. You know, the reporter's right. There's all kinds of people in state asylums complaining, you know, claiming to be from the moon or Neptune or whatever. But there's something more here. It just feels like that this might be worth investigating. So, yeah, why is he paying things for things in gold? What's he doing with all this hardware? Who are these men following him? What is this moon man? It just smells like a good story, and I'm willing to pay, you know, if I'm willing to give you guys a per diem if you go out there, and if you come back with a story with pictures, mind you, I'll give you $10.
$10?
Boy, per person.
Yeah. That sounds great. What do you say, Mr. Ferrier? You up for a ride?
Don't get out of the city too much, I suppose. Nothing wrong with a little trip up to Ipswich.
Sounds good. Are we in New York first? Is that what you said? Is that what the location
is? We are, and I've got some train tickets here that will take you up through Arkham and then over to Ipswich.
That's perfect. Now, this $10 we're talking about, sir, would that be $10 each or to kind of split amongst us? Because I've got a few people that might be willing to help.
It's $10 each and a $5 per diem. So he hands the money to Mr. Ferrier and says, you take care of yourself and Mr. Yarborough here.
Not a problem. I'll see that young Mr. Yarborough is perfectly safe.
Yes. And some more contacts would be a great idea. So... I know you're from Arkham, Mr. Yarborough. So,
I am. I'm thinking of a couple of really smart people that I know. Maybe two more to add to the payroll. Would that be too much? That's something we could handle.
Sounds perfect.
All right.
These wouldn't be university people, would they?
Well, you know. Not really in touch with the university anymore, to be honest there, Archie. And I'm not entirely sure they are either. But, you know, it's don't try not to hold that against them. Everybody's got to make a buck.
Well, I've had some trouble with university people before, but we'll see how these folks do.
All right. Excellent. And, I'll get on the phone and maybe call Miss LaForge and Mr. Kent up and ask if they'd be willing to meet when our train arrives in Arkham.
I would be happy to.
Excellent.
We will be there. Are we traveling?
Yes. It's a job that pays good money, and you know.
I'll bring my case.
Excellent. And you, Mr. Kent, I don't know if you're, are you with the university or?
Yes. It's, but I can certainly take some time off. Yes.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent.
There'll be money, right?
Yes. It is a paying, it's a paying position.
Oh, well, then yes, I should be able to make the time then.
Quite frankly, it's more than I've seen for a while. And, you know, I think, I know a man in your position might be willing to pick up a few extra dollars as well. Not to say too much, but it might be similar to our experience of the previous year.
Oh, well, let's hope not.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So it's a pretty uneventful trip up to Arkham. You meet your friends. Mr. Cleaver has arranged for all the tickets. He's got two extra from Arkham over to Ipswich. And he has also provided for rooms at the Gray House Hotel.
Nothing ominous about that.
And you roll into Ipswich. It's on the Ipswich River. It is not on the ocean. It's a little further inland. It's bordered on
the town or the hotel?
The town.
The town, okay.
The town. It does boast some industry. It has a women's hosiery factory. And on the east, it's bordered by woods and salt marshes. But otherwise, it's a pretty sleepy little town.
Just between all of us, I've kind of expanded my horizons, but I'm not too sure this Ipswich Inquirer is as trustworthy a newspaper as Strange But True. Some of the things it says there is kind of hard to believe.
I give him a quizzical look at that, given the names involved. But yes.
which parts of the report do you not believe? That he is claiming this, or is it has really happened?
No. I certainly believe he's. You know, it sounds like there's really a Fry, you know, or Otis Fry. It'd be great to get a hold of him, but perhaps we can talk to the reporter first, you know, and find out. You know, sometimes it's easier to, when you speak to someone, determine whether or not they're telling the truth or not. Am I right, Professor? Looking over at Mr. Kent, our psychologist.
People have different ways of hiding that which they don't want you to know, but you can always pick out some tells. Yes.
Yes. I wonder if that Shepherd fellow was going to take our friends out to see Neptune himself.
Well, maybe that's where they are right now.
Could be. Know. I prefer to think they're happy.
Yes, let's go with that.
Yes. Happy and free.
Not burnt to a crisp. That would be wrong.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, and Elise definitely gets a sad, sad look on her face. You think we might rescue the... No, it is not. No.
Did you folks lose some people recently?
It has been some time. Yes. There was a young girl and some others that we were taken, and I think myself much to blame for one of them.
Well... That is deeply unfortunate, and I am sorry to hear that, miss.
Thank you.
Well, actually, we should be asking you, probably, Archie, the trained investigator there. How do you think we should proceed, this type of thing?
Yes, yes, Mr. Ferrier, this is your bailiwick.
Well, typically the thing to do is to not run right out and try to talk to the target without getting a bead on him first, getting some different viewpoints. For instance, what do the local police really have to say? They've had some contact with him, according to this article.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They'll have a good, solid understanding of what's going on, and perhaps we could talk to this Chester Gore. He should be easy to find. Gore's Hardware.
Mm-hmm. I have been learning from my housemate. Perhaps if we get something of his, I could determine some things about him.
Are we talking about Mr. Fry?
Yes. He's mm-hmm. the one we are interested in, no?
Right, right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's good. I mean, ultimately, yeah, I guess it's how do we get to him. But yes, yes, we could find something.
Perhaps
maybe.
Perhaps I could invite him for coffee.
How long would you need to see it? Because maybe if we go to the hardware store or one of these merchants where he's been buying stuff, they'll let you look at one of those coins.
Well, that might work. Yes, I don't know. There is not a lot of the personal that tends to rub off on gold. It is a hard. It reflects the person. But something that is softer and more to him, perhaps. A mm-hmm. handkerchief, mm-hmm. a scarf.
Well, Jacob's got a little pocket notebook.
Be careful
that
here.
Sorry.
Let's make sure we follow Mr. Ferrier's instructions here. We don't want to be rushing ahead of things. You say we should go to the police first, Mr. Ferrier?
Well, there are four of us. Yes, four of us. We split up, cover some ground.
Yeah.
Golly, four different ways.
I do not need to talk to the police.
That
seems I knew it was coming.
We can go visit the police. We can go visit Gore's Hardware.
Do you think the newspaper's worth it, or is that just a bad idea?
No, absolutely. Yes. You're the newspaper man among us. You should go visit this Elsie Caldwell.
That's true. That's true. But maybe I can take Mr. Kent with me, because, like I said, he's kind of our good. Well, gosh, he can tell. He can tell when someone's telling the truth about a mile away, can't you, Mr. Kent?
No, I have certain abilities. I don't want to overstate them, though. I mean, I'm sure, Mr. Ferrier here has his own ways of getting the truth out of people.
He's just being shy. I think a lot of Mr. Kent. He's got great abilities.
Well, so it's settled then.
Interesting. You think the reporter is the one who is lying here?
Jacob and Professor Kent, you go visit Miss Caldwell, Miss LaForge. You can go visit the hardware store, and I will have a conversation with the force.
All right. We will then start with the Ipswich Inquirer. Mr. Kent, Mr. Yarborough, you a block down from your hotel, you see an imposing three-story building, and it's got the Inquirer emblazoned on it.
Would you say that it dwarfs whatever closet the strange but true offices are in, or would you say that we have a thriving business as well?
Strange but true is a thriving business. It is.
Oh,
it's
great.
A niche market. I'll grant you that, but you've got your foot in the door.
Okay, good, good. So not intimidated. Okay, great.
No. And you have credentials saying that you're from Strange but True. So, you are greeted by a charming receptionist. May I help you?
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm very good. Yourself?
Good, good. I'm Jacob Yarborough, and I flashed my credentials from the Strange But True. And I was wondering if I could have a discussion with one of your reporters about an article she wrote recently.
Oh. Well, which reporter is that?
Miss Elise Caldwell.
Oh, Elsie Caldwell.
Yes, yes.
Oh, she's not here right now. And as she says the name Elsie kind of loudly, a gentleman pokes his head out the door and he's just like, who's that asking about Elsie again? What's going on out here? And a kind of a middle-aged man with a bad comb over pokes his head out the door and he kind of glares at you.
So two men are looking out.
No, just the one man.
Just the one man. Yes, got you.
It's J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Edward Titcomb. I'm the paper's editor in chief. Who's asking about Elsie?
Nice to meet you, Mr. Titcomb. I'm Jacob Yarborough from Strange But True, down in New York.
Oh. And he takes your card and he looks at it and he's like, oh, come in. I'm sorry. Oh, dear. Audrey, go get these gentlemen some coffee. Come in. Sit down.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm sorry. It must seem very odd, but we've had some strange fellows asking around about Elsie yesterday, and they were threatening Audrey out there, and I'm protective of my reporters. They're good people.
Well, they're lucky to have you, sir. Lucky to have you, sounds like.
Well, you know, you gotta, if you want good people working for you, you gotta treat them right. And Elsie's just, you know, she's a local girl, but she has great aspirations, and had to hire her because her dad's our main advertiser. But that doesn't matter. She's still a good girl, and not letting anybody push her around or Audrey. It's just not that type of paper.
So she's on staff permanently. She's not doing some freelance work.
Oh, no, she's on staff, but I give her the kind of, you know, the dog show and, oh, that runaway vegetable cart, that was a good story. She had a lot of fun with that and, just kind of fluff articles. Like I said, her dad runs the hosiery mill and he puts a lot of money into advertising, so it's best to keep him happy.
Oh, wow, yes. Well, everyone's got to start somewhere. So it sounds like she's doing some good work for you.
Well, yes. So what do you want to talk to Elsie?
Well, we're wondering about a curious case you have for some color about a Mr. Fry who's been wandering around in Otis. Are you familiar with that?
I am, and you know what? Those two goons that were in here yesterday were also interested in the same article.
I look over at Mr. Kent. Goons, you say?
Yes.
Dark coats and fedoras, by any chance?
Well, actually, yes. Audrey, did you get that coffee? And the receptionist walks back in, and she does indeed have some bad coffee for you. Yes, Mr. Titcomb? Tell these fellows about those guys yesterday. Oh, well, yes. There was, there were some large fellows with dark fedoras and glasses and hats and, long trench coats. They were very large, and when I wouldn't give them Miss Caldwell's address, they were getting a little pushy. There was something not right about them. Just, it looked wrong. And fortunately, some of the boys from down in the press room came up on their break and chased them off. But I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Well, of course not. I can see that. Yes, they had no business treating a person in your position like that. Did they identify themselves? Names or a business card, perhaps?
No, I didn't. I was so put off by them that I didn't realize till they were gone that I hadn't asked. Mr. Titcomb says, yes. And I've heard rumors that they've been around town asking about Fry and Miss Caldwell. Not very happy about it.
Where's Miss Caldwell now? Have you spoken to her since these gentlemen came in?
I believe her dad has tried to rein her in a little bit. I think he's keeping her at home if he can.
Ah, I see. I see. Do you think you could maybe make an introduction for us? We'd love to talk to her and look at Mr. Kent. Does that sound like a good idea?
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, I never introduced. I'm David Kent. I'm a consultant with this. Seems like a very important story. It really could. We'd of course want to make sure we reference that we Ipswich Inquirer were the first ones to break this story open. It'd give you sort of a national presence, really. But yes, some sort of introduction would be lovely. I'm wondering, Mr. Titcomb, how many places are there to stay in town?
Well, there's the Grey House Hotel.
Yeah, that's where we're staying.
Well, that's a fine establishment.
Well, it just feels to me like if strangers have been in town for a couple of days, they must either they're coming in from out of town or they're staying somewhere locally.
Oh, I hadn't given that much thought. Let's see. I believe that there's a Mrs. Shields who runs a boarding house. Boy, over there on Maple. But that's the only hotel that we have.
Sure, it's a small town. You wouldn't expect to have many. I just feel like if they're in town, and it's kind of hard to get up here, if they're in town, they must be staying in one of these locations. That's very helpful. And we have no idea what they're doing, but of course, we must be careful for Elsie's safety, as you have been.
Boy, you boys have a nose for news and sniffing things out. That's a great idea.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I Yes, well, and in the same way that I assume where how many places do you eat in this town? I mean, I assume that's they must be getting lunches and such here. There must be a diner or something.
Oh, there's Frank's Diner. That's my favorite. They're down on the corner. I think the Gray House has a small dining room, usually for patrons only, but you can make arrangements. There are maybe a burger joint over by the train station, and a few bars that cater to the people who work out at the hosiery mill. So there are a few places around town.
Yeah, more than there are restaurants or places to stay, lodging. That's very helpful.
No, oh, my pleasure.
Do you have
Yes, here.
the Elsie's home address?
I was just going to write that down for you. She lives at 17 Birch Street.
Great. Would you
Thank you
mind
very
just calling
much.
her father and letting her know we're coming? I wouldn't want him to worry.
Not at all. It would be my pleasure.
And if you want to mention that, of course, that she might be able to be involved in a larger national story, that might help with your advertising, I might think, if he felt like his little girl was making her way up in the newspaper ranks.
Or if she gets in trouble, he pulls all of his. I'll think about it.
Well, you know him best, sir.
All right. Thank you. And with that, let's go over to the police department. So,
Yeah.
Archie, downtown Ipswich is only a few blocks long, and actually, you passed the police station walking over to the hotel from the train station. And it's a small brick building, and there you go.
I will walk in.
All right. So the desk sergeant, you meet Lieutenant James Riley.
Lieutenant Riley.
Yes, sir.
Please make your acquaintance. Archie Ferrier, NYPD, retired.
Oh. Well, it is a pleasure. What brings you to Ipswich?
Well, I am working a case, just trying to find out some background information on one of your residents who seems to be making a bit of a name for himself. I was wondering if you could share some background information, what you know about him. A Mr. Fry, Otis Fry.
Oh, Otis. Oh, I think he's just a little eccentric. Probably no more than passing through town. And a year from now, nobody will remember him. How'd you hear about? Was it that write up in the paper?
Well, that's not how I heard about him, but that's what got this all started. Yes.
Right. I think it's all just swamp gas and moonbeams. You know, when Miss Caldwell came in here asking about it, I shouldn't have let slip that anybody saw anything. But a rumor gets out and then people start talking and then they start seeing things. I'm pretty sure that it really isn't anything.
Well, I'm sure that whatever Mr. Fry is imagining he is seeing probably isn't. And I understand you have, perhaps you're having some other visitors.
Other visitors? Those trench-coated toughs spooking the townsfolks.
Any truth to that?
Well, you know, there always talks about bootleggers out in the swamps, and I'm a little afraid that maybe some of them have gotten a little big for their britches. It has given me some pause, I'll tell you that. I haven't seen them myself, and they haven't caused any real harm or mayhem, so I'm hoping that they'll just drift on through town.
Do you know who has seen these trench-coated troublemakers of yours?
Well, we've had a couple residents making, you know, calls. I think Mr. Gore of the hardware store, he said that they'd been in. He was, he thought that they were hoodlums, but they didn't do anything besides talk. So, like I said, there's nothing illegal about talking.
No, there is not. Not usually. But you think these trench-coated fellows are your moonshiners?
Could be, or could be that they're working for some other moonshiners. You know, the Arkham gangs and the Boston gangs. And as long as you stay small and local, they're willing to let you make your own. But if you start distributing outside, you know, Ipswich was, we've never taken real kindly to the prohibition. I don't blame people. I don't allow it. But.
Of course not. Of course not.
But like I said, as long as people don't cause trouble, I'm willing to let people be.
Did you say you got a little surprised? A small town like this has its own shiners operating outside of town, you say?
Well, there are always rumors of it out in the salt marshes. You see, you can kind of, you know, it's not that far from the ocean. You know, you make your stuff here, small distribution. Like I said, it's all rumors. I've been out looking. The swamps are so big. I don't know. If I were a moonshiner, I wouldn't go in there. I'd afraid I'd get lost. And I'm local.
Yeah.
It's troubling. Just hoping there's no serious provocation requiring police response.
Did I understand you correctly a few minutes ago, Lieutenant? I was under the impression that Mr. Fry was a local.
Well, not exactly. He and his mother live outside of town.
Been here long, have they?
Well, I think Otis has just come this way for supplies. I hear he's been buying all kinds of metal and wires and doodads. What? Yeah. So, I think that Ipswich just has a greater supply. He's got the hardware store, and there's the scrapyard, and we even have a lens grinder in town here. And so there's just, I've made some inquiries, and he's been to several establishments, but as he's paid and isn't making any trouble, it's all right.
Any chance I could get you to give me his mother's address?
Do you think you could make a persuade roll?
Professional courtesy and all that.
I'll give you a bonus dice for that.
Persuade. Oh, look, I have no persuade whatsoever.
Ooh.
Base of 10,
like
baby.
10%.
Here we go.
You got it.
Intimidating.
Oh, thank you. Bonus die. 14. I'll spend the 4 luck on that. You betcha.
He says that they live on Elliott Street. It's a stretch of road running between Ipswich and Innsmouth.
Well, it's much appreciated, Lieutenant. I do appreciate it. And hopefully there won't be any more trouble.
Hi.
You have a good day now, sir.
Thank you. All right. Miss LaForge.
Yes.
I believe you were headed towards Gore's hardware store.
It is what they told me to do, and I guess I will do that briefly.
Do you have something you want to do before words or afterhand?
Well, I guess, now that I know that he lives outside of town, that I guess I will just do that. I was thinking of actually that we would have done some operator and find his address and so forth, and then I would actually see if I could casually run into him, but I will not. I will find out that he lives outside of town and then thwart that plan. So yeah, I'll go to the hardware store.
All right. So the hardware store is also not difficult to find. This is just a one main street town. And
excellent.
It's a typical hardware and sundries store. Hello, ma'am. Can I help you?
Good afternoon. It is possible, yes. I am visiting from Arkham, and I am here with a newspaper, and we are looking, following up on this Mr. Fry and his gold coins.
I'd be careful if I were you. There are some shady characters looking for Mr. Fry. You don't look too shady, oh. But
No, I am not shady. what sort of characters?
Men in dark trench coats and hats, sunglasses. They didn't seem to have any hair.
Oh, that is shady.
Odd looking fellas. Odd.
Gee. Oh, ah. Well, I was hoping that we could look at one of the gold coin.
Oh. Oh. Well, you know, they were asking after that too and asked to buy it from me. So, I kind of wanted him out of the store, so I sold it to him. But you know what? I sold one to Elsie Caldwell. She works for the Ipswich Inquirer. I sold one to her a few days ago.
Oh, and do you know, I'm sorry to butt my nose in, but do you know if he was shopping elsewhere in town that he might have spent the coins?
Oh, well, yeah, he had quite the shopping list. Let's see, he said he was going to go to Millard's Chemical Supply and, Mason Radio and Electric. They're the small shop next to the hosiery mill. And I think he was going to go to... the lens grinder. And there's a salvage yard. Duncan's Salvage Yard. Yeah, for scrap tin. He had a whole list of things he was looking for. Copper wiring and radio tubes, sheet metal. He got nails and I think every length that I have back there. There are things I didn't have, like so clock parts and punch cards, magnets. That fella, he was obviously inventing something. He said he was what was he trying to make? A trans-Neptunian I don't remember what he called it. It was strange, but some he wanted to communicate with outer space.
That is fascinating. Somebody who wishes to talk to the aliens.
Yes!
I realize that he's probably looking at me.
Well, no. That's what a space signaler of some kind. He said he had brothers in outer space that he was hoping to contact.
Did he talk to you about them?
Well, not at first. He's super shy, let me tell you. But, He got all worked up. He obviously's got some expertise with building stuff too. I mean, he was explaining how he was doing this. I don't know anything about it, but he wanted to. He was putting something together so he could send out a signal. He said he got left here on accident, and
poor man.
Yeah. I know what it was. The Trans-Neptunian Telephonic Communicator. That's what it was.
Ah. Huh. Of course. I have no idea.
Rolls off your tongue, right?
That's fascinating. So does he have a name tag on? Is this Mr. Gore?
It is Mr. Gore.
Mr. Gore, so he bought things with two gold coins from you, and you sold one to the men in coat and one to the reporter.
Well, it was a little more than two, perhaps, but I sold one to Miss Caldwell, and I did. I wanted those fellas out of here. You know, I'm not sure they had eyebrows. I, you know, not really sure how much they're really worth, and they did offer a tidy sum to buy them for me, and I didn't keep one, ma'am.
But okay.
I'm sure if you find Miss Caldwell, she was quite taken with the piece. They're pretty.
Okay. Do you remember anything about them?
They had strange lettering on them. Maybe it was Greek or something. I had never seen it before. And there was like a building on the one side with maybe ribbons on it. And on the other side, there were, critters.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Gore. That has been very helpful.
You take care of yourself. You don't get yourself into any trouble now. Those goons look tough.
I won't. I will stay away from them. Thank you.
All right, there.
So I will, and you can just narrate this if you want, but I'll go to the other of those stores that were within walking distance. I will go to them and attempt to procure a coin as well.
All right. You, I will say that around the way you make it to the radio and electric supply, and the owner there will indeed sell you or offer to sell you one of the coins. I don't know how much you're willing to part with, Miss LaForge, or maybe you just want to take a look at it.
I was really hoping to borrow it for an hour. How much would you like as a collateral?
Collateral. Do you have a driver's license?
I have my travel cards.
Oh. Well.
I can't leave town without them.
Well, I think it will be all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I will take one and I'll think about my flatmate, and I will buy some candles and take a silk scarf out of my purse, and I'll go to the local park and I will have a seance over the coin. I will also, of course, look at it.
Okay, well, it's a gold. It isn't just pure gold. You can tell it's some kind of alloy. And sure enough, on one side, there's a pillared building. It's got pillars and holding up a like a triangular roof structure. And it might be ribbons. Something is entwined around the pillars. And on the obverse side, indeed, there are sea creatures kind of circling around the coin, and there are some letters. You're gonna make it a. Do you have a mythos, maybe?
I have a cult. I did not get any mythos, no.
Okay. You don't really recognize the letters, but there are jellyfish and porpoises and sharks circling around the one side with an unknown script.
Okay. You said porpoises.
Yes.
Along with sharks and jellyfish. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And then After an hour of that, I will return the coin and recover my papers.
Perfect. Perfect. Did you, with your seance, did you want to spend some magic points and try to channel something?
Sure.
Can you make
either
an occult?
Do that as like yeah, I can do a cult or dream studies, but I will happily do a cult too, but I will not pass.
Okay. Well, as you said, you know, metal doesn't carry much personal information. It's just an object to be passed around and not a personal item, so you aren't able to glean any information from them.
Sure. I knocked off 2 magic points. I don't know what the norm is for attempted channeling, but
seems we'll like go a number. All right. All right. So, Mr. Yarborough and Mr. Ferrier, did you have a goal for after you left the Inquirer?
What do you think?
You mean Mr. Kent? Sorry. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Kent.
Yes. Well,
Professor Kent. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Sorry.
What time of day is it?
It's after lunch.
You think we should after lunch?
I'm a bit hungry. Why don't we go to the diner and maybe we could just ask if anybody's seen the strange men around?
I think that's a great idea. Maybe our compadres, our partners, associates will also get hungry. Frank's Diner is right here on the corner. It seems the likely place. What do you think?
Indeed. It feels like one of these, you know, the diners where everybody eats type places.
I think so. Maybe we missed the rush, but it's probably still someone there.
Indeed, you can head that way. Mr. Ferrier, did you have something that you wanted to do?
I don't believe so, no. Not yet.
Are you perhaps also hungry?
That seems reasonable. I mean, it is a small town. I might come out of the police station and see them headed into the diner or something remarkably convenient like that.
That would work.
The police does not miss meals.
All right.
We've already shown that.
Well,
we got that per diem. Just burn a hole in our pocket.
That too, yeah.
Well, that's why I'm holding on to the money.
But Archie, right. I'm hungry. Sorry.
That's all right. You walk into Frank's Diner. It has several bar stools along a counter, and there's a woman just working away at the grill, flipping burgers and bacon and eggs. And there are a few tables towards the very back, and there's a back room kind of around the way. You can see maybe there's another kitchen and people are going in and out. And for as late as it is, there's still a good amount of people. But you can find a place at either the counter or take one of the tables.
So I want to find a table, which is probably a booth. And I want to have, if I can find one that there's not somebody on either side of us so that we could have a quiet conversation with the waitress without people overhearing, that would be great. But if that's not possible, because it's still busy, that's fine too.
I think you could at least have one side open. That works.
Great. Sit down, wait for the waitress.
How can I help you guys? Folks. And she bobs her head at Miss LaForge.
Yes. And does she have a name tag on?
Yes. It's Ashley.
Ashley, I would like to have your I'd like to have your turkey club, unless you don't think that's a good choice.
Our turkey club is good. Our Wow Burger is also very good. The garbage plate is also very popular.
The garbage plate. Now, that does sound fascinating. Is that what you'd recommend?
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's what I'm having then, Ashley.
You can get a full with 5 eggs or a half with 3.
I don't know what any of those words mean, but I'll get the half then.
Lovely. And she takes all of your orders. Anybody have anything particular you'd like? We have a soda fountain, too.
Soda fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like a Coke. Do you have Coke?
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Gives me that pleasant high.
Lovely. Anything else I can get you?
Just some coffee, please.
Coffee.
Thank you.
All right. She'll wander back behind the counter and put your order up on the up for the grill jockey.
And I assume we'll talk about what we heard from the Mr. Titcomb.
Right, share notes back and forth.
Yeah. Yes. Sounds like we all had a productive time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think it will be good to meet
Elsie?
Mr. Fry.
Oh, Mr. Fry, yeah. Do you have a line of where he might be?
I have his address.
I believe we do,
that's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
Well, I'm particularly interested in talking
to Elsie's house after all.
Well, I would like to talk to her, though. I mean, she may have information.
It's true.
Oh, I'm sure she does. Yes.
And we did tell her father that we were coming over there. So
that's right. We called for the introduction.
Oh,
he's an important man. He might not like to be snubbed.
He runs the hosiery factory. He must know everybody in town too. He may know something about the Mr. Otis. It seems strange that the Archie that they described him as sort of a local, but he lives out of town.
Yeah, that's the darndest thing. It seemed like from the article, no one. He just kind of showed up, but it seems like they knew him all along.
Well, don't they just know him now that he has shown up?
Well, yes, the article made it seem that way, but then, I mean, it's not that big a town. He just lives outside the road. I mean, it's hard to imagine that people didn't know him beforehand, but we can find out when we talk to Elsie. There's no need to draw conclusions with limited information.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. It isn't long before the waitress brings back.
Small towns better. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Brings your garbage plate. It's a mess of potatoes and eggs with onions and peppers mixed in there with cheese.
Oh.
Your Coke and coffee. And I think that was all that was ordered.
Yes.
None of the rest of you are hungry?
I look over at Archie. Boy, that sandwich sure smells good. You think I could have my per diem?
Well, of course. Don't go spending it all in one place. This is your money for the whole day now.
You got it. Yeah, and I'll order some sort of sandwich and a Coke and some fries, whatnot.
Ashley, you'll have to excuse my friend here. He's actually a reporter for a major newspaper. Working on
really?
Yes. He's working on a story that you probably read about the spaceman needing a ride home by Elsie Caldwell.
Oh, that Elsie. Isn't she something else?
We haven't met her yet, but we're looking forward to it.
Oh, well, if you see her red roadster, well, she tears around town all the time. What I wouldn't give. Oh.
Did you go to – how old is Ashley?
She's not that old, maybe 24, 25.
Did you go to school with Elsie?
I did, but, stuff, and I had to go to work early. So grade school we went together.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. Hey, do you know this person she wrote the article about, Otis Fry, this strange person? Is he coming here at all?
No. I don't think he was in our school either.
Okay.
But well, there are people who live out on the edge of town that don't come in much. Some people don't send their kids to school neither.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, apparently it's this. Her stories cause all sorts of commotion. Strangers in town like us asking about it. It must be very exciting for everybody here.
Well, I saw the glowing lights over the swamp. It was so strange. One was blue, and then there was this noise. I don't know. It was like hooting or something. And then another one went up, but it didn't just float like the blue one did. It kind of went zigzagging across the sky, and it was red. There's got to be something going on. I mean, wow. Thinking about it, Moon Men coming to Ipswich. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, we'd be in the papers then. Wow.
Wow. How did you happen to be out there? Did you just go to hang out?
Well, I was taken out. I have another job, and I do grocery deliveries. And there's a widow out there who I make deliveries for.
Do you think that lots of people in town have seen this, or is it just kind of people who are at the outskirts?
Well, I think it's mostly people who live out on the east end of town. I know that Widow Elsner said she's seen them, too. The Blakes live real close to her. And, I did hear that Douglas Jenkins, he said he saw one of the Moon Men. I don't know about that. He's a machinist over at the hosiery plant. And, he was in telling stories to a bunch of people. I had to leave, so I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But he said the Moon Man was creepy looking, but it was a real little guy. I was surprised. I would think they'd be real tall and thin. But I don't know. I mean, maybe like crushing gravity or something keeps them really small.
Did he see him over there on the east side of town, too?
That's what he said. He lives over there.
And that's where he saw him. Is that where where you saw the lights?
Right, over the swamp on the east side.
And what was that person's name again? The hosiery plant guy?
Oh, Douglas. Doug Jenkins.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that sounds very exciting, Ashley.
Good food.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. We're famous for our garbage plates.
I look a little confused.
Oh. Oh, the egg dish. That's what we call them, garbage plates, because we mix it all together and it looks just kind of like garbage sitting on your plate. But it does taste good, doesn't it?
Oh, it's very good. If you like a lot of potatoes, yes. And yes, it's very good. Well, this has been lovely. I tell you, I do would ask, though, have you, we've been told that we need to be cautious around some large gentlemen in town that poking around. Have they ever been in here? Have you seen them before?
You're the only non-regulars I've seen this week.
Well, that's interesting. Well, thank you so much for your time. This is really delicious.
Oh, I'm so glad. Just give a holler if you need anything else.
Will do.
I thought she would say, golly, just like you.
Well, America's a really big place, you know. We have a lot of different ways of talking.
Yes, I am learning.
Well, I had thought to go to the boarding house to see if we could ask about those men in jackets, but to be honest with you, maybe it's best if we just steer clear of them. What do you guys think?
Well, I'd rather encounter them during the day than at night.
It's true. It's true. But they might be out. They said the people, well, I mean, you know, maybe that's a good reason to, good time to go if they're out, you know, but they have some information about them there.
And perhaps they have things in their room that would be interesting, but of course that we will leave that to the professionals. Right, Mr. Ferrier?
Right. Sure, that's what we will do.
So,
I'm still looking at Mr. Ferrier for advice on what we're going to do next.
Well, I thought it was already decided. You've already said you're headed out to Miss Caldwell's.
Yeah.
That's true.
That sounds good. Will you go, Mr. Fine, go find Otis then?
Oh, I might as well. See what he has to say for himself about all this going on.
I would like to meet Mr. Otis.
Yes, good, good.
Yes.
Are you thinking to do that seance thing on him, Miss LaForge?
Yes.
Well,
yes, I think that will be something. I can always try.
Well, maybe he'll learn.
Not very good at it, yeah. Now perhaps.
Question. All right. How do we get out there? We need a car.
Yeah.
They might have a taxi service, like some guy who owns a car, and whenever he's free, he takes people around.
Or bicycles.
Yeah, bicycles.
We don't have a map of the area. Could we get a map of the area? Find out how far out of town we're talking about.
Yes, you can pick up a map of the area. It is probably, well, you see that the Elliott Street leading towards Innsmouth, you're not sure exactly how far out of town he lives. They do tell you that Elliot leads all the way to Innsmouth, which is about 2.5 miles away. And it kind of wends its way through the salt marshes. So it's maybe
not actually out of the question.
Right.
Yeah, these small towns are really close to each other.
But you see the
block. It's only a mile or two.
Right.
Perhaps walking. I don't not interested in bicycling in my suit.
Yes, walk would be nice.
All right.
And let us set out.
You set out, and Elliot is a pretty. You quickly realize that a car on this road would not be much faster than walking. It's very rutted. It does not look particularly well traveled. There obviously isn't much traffic between Ipswich and Innsmouth, and the salt marshes come right up to the edge of the road, and it leads directly east. In fact, any of these homes might be the people that Ashley was talking about. And there aren't very many, maybe 3-5 houses. That's it. And they're pretty sparse. And obviously the salt air is not doing them any good. They're not well put together. You just start walking out that direction. Mr. Yarbrough and Dr. Kent, you on the other hand head to the west side of town, which is very upscale. And Birch Street is lined with you probably think this is the who's who in town. And Miss Caldwell's house is a brick colonial with well manicured lawn. And if you could make me a luck roll.
Luck rolls, party luck.
Yes.
Okay. Where are you at there, Sean?
Way higher than 27.
Way higher than 27. Okay, let's give it a shot. 45, that's a fail.
All right. A kind of plump-looking, dour woman answers the door. Yes, may I help you?
Yes, we're here to see Elsie Caldwell, please. We called ahead. Edward Titcomb, her employer, should have given the house a call, let him know we were coming.
She looks at you kind of evilly. Yes.
Are you Mrs. Caldwell?
No.
Jacob says, sticking his hand out.
I am Anna, the housekeeper.
Oh, well, sure is nice to meet you, Anna.
You can tell she's sizing you up.
Jacob has never met a person he hasn't liked. Big smile on his face.
Except for a few that he punched. But
that's true. That's true.
To be fair, it was just one repeatedly.
Yeah. Well, he started it.
Each time. Even when you broke into his house and struck him from behind.
Oh, that's true.
But you liked him. You just liked to punch him.
That's right. Well, it's different. He was a professor.
Wait, can't be different. I don't want that to be different.
Anna maybe is taking more of a cotton to Professor Kent.
Yes. I'm with the Miskatonic University here, and my friend here is a reporter, much like Miss Caldwell, we really would like to discuss with her some of the reporting she's been doing lately. Again, we understand that this is a career that she's embarked on. Her father has been very supportive. This could really, help her career, but I suppose I really think that, us talking to her would be, most beneficial to her and probably please her father greatly to see that she was moving along in her career.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to be charming or fast-talking her?
No, I'm not fast. I'm persuading, I hope.
Okay. Well, do persuade me.
We don't have a smarm.
What's your smarm skill?
It doesn't matter. It's an 82 anyway.
She looks like she's having none of it. And she is starting to kind of push you gently to the door. And you see a young woman with a blonde bob peek over the stairs. And she's just like, Did I hear you talking about my dad? If he doesn't think that I'm safe on the streets of Ipswich, you are some kind of detectives Pinkerton types trying to protect me, are you? I'm not having it. I can do what I want. You just march yourselves out of here, back to your office, because I won't have you trailing around me.
Take a look at us, miss. We're certainly not Pinkerton detectives.
I'm a fellow reporter, Miss Caldwell.
Really?
Yeah, show her your card, Mr. Yarborough.
I flash her my smile and my card.
Mostly the card.
Yes.
Wow. Golly. Well, what can an agent of the Fourth Estate do for another?
I found a lady who not only understands me, but speaks like me. I like it.
And that's how the budding romance began.
Yeah.
Before they reached by the deep ones.
Yes. Yeah. And then it ended.
Yeah.
We come in.
Oh, please, Anna. Go make a pot of tea or something. Gosh.
Lovely. Here, let me come and help you.
Gosh and golly.
And I will follow the housekeeper into the kitchen.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Strange but true. That sounds so exotic and exciting.
Oh, it's nothing compared to what you've accomplished here in Ipswich. I understand. I've read some of your work. You have some really big articles. I haven't had anything published myself yet. Hopefully that'll come soon.
Did you read the piece about the vegetable cart? Boy, that was a humdinger.
I didn't see the one about the vegetable cart, but actually the one we're here about is the one you wrote about Otis Fry.
Oh, yeah, the spaceman story.
Yeah, that sounded really interesting. You think it's true?
Well, I think he's a little goofy. I mean, he seemed all right, just kind of shy and strange. He had some science fiction magazines too that he had in his coat, and he showed me some of them. But it's kind of interesting. He had all kinds of wires and tin and stuff that he was gonna build a trans-Neptunian telephonic communicator.
Wow, that's a big word.
I know, and he had some plans he had drawn up. I don't know if any of it would work, but gosh, now people from New York are coming to talk to me about my story.
That's right. We've been kind of asking around town, following up to some leads on this story, but, we haven't been able to speak to Mr. Fry yet. What's he like? Did you just happen upon him as he came out of one of the shops? I understand he lives on the east side of town. What do you know about him?
I heard some rumors about him, And some people had been calling in about strange sights that they'd seen near the salt marshes. And so I started asking around, and people said that it was going in and out of the stores. And so I left my card around. And Mr. Gore, you should talk to him. He's a swell guy. He called me over at the newspaper when he came in to buy some stuff. And so I popped down there to find him. Like I said, he was real shy at first. But Ipswich is small, and strangers kind of stand out. I bet you've already gotten that. I went and talked to him, and he wanted to signal his Star Brothers to come rescue him from Earth. He said something about government guys tailing him, and oh, I got one of his gold coins. I bought it from Mr. Gore. Here, look at this. And she hands you a gold coin for you to inspect.
Yeah, and it looks pretty much like the identical to the one that
Miss LaForge.
Miss LaForge, yes, thank you. Miss LaForge had.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Wow, look at that.
I know. Can you make heads or tails of it? I wondered, boy, you could take it to some kind of coin collector in New York and they could tell you that it comes from some exotic place.
That's true.
Isn't it which was heads and which was tails?
Yeah, I tell you, I think maybe the face over here is, you know, well, I don't know. Maybe the temple. I don't know. Gosh, I think you're right.
Well, I thought maybe that was some kind of government building or something on the front. You know how banks have that look. And gosh,
that's true. That's true. You know, I in here I didn't think I'd find anything else. Anything else pretty in this house? I'm sorry. I slipped
up. Gosh.
Yes, gosh. Listen, it's I hear these lights are coming from the east side of town. Have you seen them?
I haven't. I've driven out there a couple times, hoping. It sounds so exciting, but I haven't seen anything.
Well, you know, we're probably going to follow the story to go out there. Would you maybe, kind of looks down, would you maybe like to go out with us?
Oh, gosh, sure. Yeah, we can take my car.
Oh, it is a big one. I've got some associates that are here with the, you know, Mr. Kent in there. And
well, maybe Mr. Kent could, we could put down the rumble seat and he could sit in the back end. You could sit up front with me.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Mr. Kent.
So I am trying to listen to their conversation. I imagine it's not that big a house, but maybe I'm wrong. Or at least the distance from the kitchen to the sitting room
is not far. Yes.
Plus I can't imagine the housekeeper leaving her that unattended for too long.
She kind of sees you over listening and she kind of shakes her head a little bit and also, you know, leans her head that direction, making sure that there are shenanigans going on.
Oh, I nod my head. We both want to make sure these young kids don't do anything foolish, like think I'm going to ride in the rumble seat. must be very difficult for you. I understand that there's been some people running around town looking for Elsie.
Oh, her father is so protective. I try to keep a good eye on her.
And I'm sure he appreciates that very much. I definitely felt intimidated by you at that doorway there. I was not going to just walk in, so good for you. Good for you. Do you think it would help him to know that we were inquiring about these matters, that there was other people involved, or?
I know he said that there were people coming. He wasn't sure exactly how many or so.
Oh, I think that might have been us. We had Mr. Titcomb, the editor, call to say that we were coming over. We didn't want to just show up unannounced. You know, that wouldn't be right. Is he coming home soon or does he work late at the hosiery factory?
He often works late, which is why Miss Elsie is often running all over the place. She needs more supervision.
I can understand your frustration. These young people these days. Yes. Well, yes, I guess let me help you with that tea carrier.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, and she puts a few cookies on there to boot.
Oh, well, those look lovely. Did you make those?
Oh, but of course.
Oh, well. And, yeah, I guess we will head out and serve tea.
All right, then.
I believe we'll just make general chit-chat at this point. I don't think I have any lines of inquiry.
All right.
Well, you know, I'll say, you know, Mr. Kent, Elsie here, she's offered to drive us out to the east side of town. And, you know, Elsie, I was going to ask, maybe...
Will there be room for you in the car?
Oh, we can pop down the rumble seat for you, sir.
I give him a stern, stern look. That, you know. Well, I could do that, but you know how when I'm alone, I just start rambling on about stories of things that have happened to people I know, acts of violence and whatnot. You wouldn't want that to happen, would we?
Jacob's eyes get kind of wide. Well, Elsie, I was thinking, you know, maybe we should go to your factory before we go out there and speak with,
Doug Jenkins.
Yeah, the guy who works for your dad who saw the lights. Maybe he can tell us exactly where to look and maybe take a ride out there then.
Oh, okay. Well, then we ought to go soon because he's going to get off. He's going to get off at 2:00, so we should go.
No, no time like the present, then.
All right, then.
Thank you for the tea, ma'am.
Mm. Yes.
She nods at Professor Kent. All right.
Elsie, I forgot Professor Kent's got a bad knee. He kind of doesn't get around so well anymore in his older age, so maybe he should sit in the front seat.
He's like 26 or something. Somehow next to you he became old. Well, he's 29.
So. Well, she looks visibly crushed.
Lean forward, though, the whole time.
All right. Mr. Ferrier and Miss LaForge.
Yes.
So you're walking a good 30 minutes before, and there's just nothing on either side of the road except this... swamps. There's a lot of pine trees, the water, you can smell the brackish water right up to the edge of the road, and before you come across a small cottage. It's a pretty desolate looking place. It's an old salt box style farmhouse, and it looks like the swamp is slowly going to just take it right back.
Is it is there a mailbox at the Fry name
yes.
on it?
Yes, indeed.
Oh. Well, this seems to be the place, Miss LaForge.
Yes, I think we are here.
So tell me, does that seance thing of yours, does that ever actually work?
Well, it is a good question. I am never sure with Miss Ewing whether she is insightful or magical, but it certainly gets people to talk often.
Well, maybe it'll be some use here. Sure, it would be easier just to know things about people.
It would be. And sometimes things talk to me. But for me, it is more scientific studies and of what happens when you sleep and what you dream about. This is a new area.
Are there any cars or vehicles parked around the house?
There are not.
Big aluminum foil tent.
No, but...
Rocket ship parked out back?
Right.
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
We knock at the door.
A average looking middle-aged woman comes to the door. She's got on a house dress and sensible shoes. Her hair is plain but neatly styled. Oh, good afternoon. May I help you?
Good afternoon.
Mrs. Fry, I presume?
Yes, Hannah, please, do come in.
Well, thank you.
And she's got a neat, if modest, house. There are many pictures on the wall, and she kind of flutters about. Oh, can I get you some refreshments?
Some of your tea would be lovely.
Oh, yes. Wait, right here. I'll be just a moment. And she waves her hands and steps. The kitchen has a little pass-through so you can see right into it. And she's, busying herself with a tea kettle and sets out a pot and jug of milk and sugar. And, oh, where do I have any of those little cakes left? Oh, my goodness. It's lovely weather. Are you just out for a walk? Are you lost? Did your car break down? How can I help you? I don't have a telephone, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's fine. We actually came to see you and your boy.
Oh, Otis, he's so smart. Oh my goodness. Has he won a science prize or something? I just know he's going to be a famous inventor someday. Oh, yes. I'm not surprised at all. He's my pride and joy. Gilbert and I are so proud of him.
I'm sorry, Gilbert? And she,
that's very nice.
Oh, yes, my husband, Gilbert. He travels a lot, but I know that he's so very proud. Here's a picture of Gilbert and I. Make an intelligence roll.
Hmm. Bald. Yep.
Hard success.
Normal success.
The picture she is pointing out is a picture of Woodrow Wilson.
Excellent.
Lovely. When do you expect your husband home?
Oh, he travels a lot. His schedule keeps him going all the time. It is hard to know when he is going to blow in and then blow right out again. But... Oh, he is such a handsome man. And here, yeah, I'm standing next to him, and that's our son there. There's our Otis.
So is this her son and Woodrow Wilson?
No, not at all.
Just three random people?
Basically. And if you take a look around at the pictures on the walls, you can tell that... some of them have been snipped out of newspapers. Others might have come with the frame.
Are there any, as I'm looking around at the pictures, are there also any clippings or anything on the walls? Or any religious paraphernalia or anything else of a sort of personal nature? Just
no.
Okay. This is a lovely house you have here, Mrs. Fry.
Oh, thank you. I do what I can. It It's modest, but
what does your husband sell?
Oh, he's a commercial traveler.
I'm sorry, I do not understand.
Oh, you know, it's all business stuff. I don't bother myself with that. I just, you know, I just keep myself and Otis together, and he's just so smart. Would you like to see his room? He's going to be a great scientist someday. Oh, he's always interested. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So she takes you back, and it's, you know, a small room. It's littered with dozens of pulp and popular science magazines. There's all kinds of models of the planets and rocket ships and all kinds of little...
Oh, Mrs. Fry, I think I hear the tea kettle. Is it going? Did you leave it on?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so very much. I'll be right back. I hope chamomile's okay.
Yes. Of course, of course.
Oh, good, good, good. I've got to find that cake.
So while she's downstairs, I will look for an appropriate small something. I'm thinking in this case it might be a journal or a book or something that he would have spent a lot of time with.
Sure, it looks like he's got quite the stack of magazines, both pulp and like science journals stacked up next to his bed.
Anything he would have written in or something or drawn on or something that he sort of spent some brain power on?
Make a spot hidden roll.
All right. That is not a success. That's not a success.
Okay. It looks like... you don't see anything. You don't see anything with his handwriting on it.
Okay.
But some of the magazines are well dog-eared.
Well read.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that'll have to do then. I assume he's not a stuffed animal sort of person.
No.
Or some other, or a, I don't know what sort of toy he might have. But okay, yeah, I will pocket a. What looks like a well-read, older copy of a magazine, something that he's had for some years.
All right, you do that.
And what else is in the room? Just sort of looking around. Is it any of its invention, or is it just...
There are some model rocket ships. There are some like model planes that he's put together and hung from the ceiling. It looks like a radio that's been disassembled. It does look like there's various bits of metal and wiring that have been put together or taken apart and put together again in various configurations.
Nowhere near enough stuff to account for the amount of shopping he's done.
No, it's all very small.
Okay. So I will look at Archie. Should we head downstairs or do you want to spend more time while she is getting cake?
While Miss LaFleur,
I could hold her downstairs if you like.
Sure, that might be useful. Let me toss through the place a little bit.
I will go downstairs and spill some tea as I'm helping her.
Oh my goodness, is that on your clothes?
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, it's fine. Let me help clean up. Do you have a towel?
Oh, yes, yes. Here. Oh, let's go to the kitchen.
Thank you.
Mr. Ferrier.
Yep, I'm just going to toss through his room. I'm curious, if there's anything particularly interesting that jumps out at me, of course. But I'm also kind of curious just to Get an idea just to, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's not like from outer space, but how long he's been living here, how long, you know, has been this, has this been his room for, you know, 30 years or 2 years? And sort of how far back the interest in gadgets and in building things goes.
Okay. You see, you know, looking at the things tacked to the wall, you obviously see some lower down that were done by a much younger person, much more rudimentary drawings of space. It looks like he's always been obsessed with space. The magazines date back several years. So he's been here. You would guess that this really has been his house his entire lifetime.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. And, you know, how far back does his interest, does his interests go? I mean, are the, you know, do his magazines only go back a year, or do they go back 10 years, or what's the...
Maybe 5 or 6.
Okay. And is his mother's room nearby?
It is. It's right across the hall.
I'll take a quick look around the mother's room.
It has a pair of twin beds. You would say one of them has maybe never been slept in ever.
That makes sense.
The only clothes in the closet belong to a woman. Although once again, there's some pictures of Woodrow Wilson framed lovingly next to the bed. Yeah, it's only inhabited by Mrs. Fry.
Okay. I will return and join the ladies.
Would you like some tea, sir?
No, thank you. Just a glass of water would be lovely. Where is Otis, if I might ask?
Oh, he's always doing all kinds of scientific experiments. He wanders off and does some stuff and then comes home. And then he's off again. That's just the way young boys are, you know. They grow up so fast.
Where does he wander off to? Into the swamp?
Does he have a laboratory or something? Or?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he had some job somewhere doing great scientific stuff. He's always talking about how he's going to travel to space or some stuff. He'll break my heart when he leaves, but you know, he's going to be a great scientist, and Gilbert is just going to be so proud of him.
I'm sure. Does he goes off on foot?
Oh yes. Yes. Just I'm sure it's just a little jaunt and then he'll return, just like my Gilbert.
Yes, of course. Wow. All right, so I would like to roll a psychology, because I'm curious how much of this she believes and how much of this is... No idea. Okay. Yes. And is this just a small house? I mean, we've more or less seen it, a couple bedrooms upstairs and living room, kitchen, dining room downstairs kind of thing?
Yep. You've seen just about all of it.
Okay. And what was the property like?
Like, was there a fenced in, you know, yard? Is it ill kept? Is it, what sort of a?
It is not well kept. It is, there's maybe a few geraniums trying to struggle along in a planter box, but there's not much to it. There's a small driveway, but no real evidence of any car.
And inside, is there any evidence of any hobbies or pastimes other than a love affair with Mr. Wilson of Anna?
It is very neat and clean.
Okay.
And as she flutters around the room, she's always straightening things and plumping up pillows and just tutting.
And all of Otis's stuff is sort of stuck in his room. There's no, he doesn't spread out.
No. That's his room. That's his stuff. I really would love to go in there and give it a good cleaning, but oh my goodness. I do try. I know a growing boy. He's going to have his own interests, and I will do my best to keep out. Mostly.
Yes, I'm sure you are doing a wonderful job bringing him up.
It can be so difficult with Gilbert gone so very much, but I have to shoulder on and make sure that when Gilbert comes home that Otis lives up to all of his expectations.
Yes. I sort of raise my eyebrow at Archie in questioning format.
Can you make a listen roll, please?
Sure. Ooh, a 20 is possible.
Yes.
20 is a success.
You hear a vehicle pull up to the house. And you hear the distinctive, you know, slam of a door. And the door, there's a brief knock, and then the door opens up. And a large man wearing a dark trench coat is standing there at the door. And maybe we'll stop right there.
Sure.
Dun, dun, dun. Cool. All
right. Right. That's great.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That went super fast. Yeah,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
In a good way, I hope. Super fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have to see how this budding relationship between Jacob and Elsie goes.
That's right. That's right.
That's really what we're interested in, yes.
Yes. We haven't had enough romance in Skype of Cthulhu. This is really going to change it around.
We really haven't. I mean, we've had a lot of petty bickering, but we have not had much romance.
And we're still doing that. Don't worry. I mean...
I know, yeah.
Come for the petty bickering, stay for the romance, you know.
Yeah, right.
adding things in. It's interesting how much more conniving Kent has gone in the last year.
Oh, there's a backstory to it. Don't you worry.
I'm sure.
He's fighting for his tenure. Develop some habits.
Yeah. It's possible he's a little bit more hardened after his apparent mistakes in the last go-round.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Cool. Well,
yeah, happy happies, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy.
Everybody enjoy themselves, please.
Yeah.
Steve, are you not able to make it next week? Are you?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I probably should say that again. Going off on a family trip. So I won't be here either Sunday or Monday next week. Maybe Jacob.
You do.
I know. Maybe Jacob has a little more luck with old Elsie. Who knows?
Whoa.
Whitney we'll take, gets the we'll dead weight. And, I don't know. Yeah, you guys do whatever you want to with Jacob for sure.
Oh, we will.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Cool.
But yeah.
So you guys, hey, everybody.
Happy holidays. See you next Monday.
Take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.